Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi there. Welcome. Welcome to The Dr. Nina Show. I'm Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin. I'm a psychoanalyst specializing in food, weight, and body image issues, and I am here to help you lose weight without dieting. That means no more counting calories or carbs, no more thinking about food all the time. It really is possible to lose weight and gain health all without ever going on another diet. Now, if you'd like to call in and talk with me, the number is 818-602-4929. That's 818-602-4929. And I have to catch my breath a little bit because it just took me a really, really, really long time to get here from the studio. I don't know what's going on with LA traffic, but it was crazy. So I had to dash in and run up four flights of stairs. So I'm a little out of breath. So let me just catch my breath here. Now, today I want to talk to you about practical things that you can do. As people ask me all the time, well, what can I do? I get all this information you're telling me, but what do I do about it? So I thought, you know, today, for those of you who feel helpless and hopeless about food, I wanted to do something to help give you some practical strategies. So I first want to just go over why diets fail. Because even if you've heard me say it before, it does not hurt and may even help to hear it again. This is why diets fail. Diets fail because, well, they fail for physiological reasons and psychological reasons. The physiological reasons I won't get into so much, but that basically has to do with, you know, when you restrict food, your metabolism gets more efficient, so it slows down. And then when you start eating normally again, it's a lot easier to gain weight. Not good, right? But from a psychological standpoint, diets fail because on some level they are always about deprivation, and that always leads to overeating or even binging. And that's because the anticipation of deprivation, the anticipation of not being able to eat what you want, will make you want it more. And if you're thinking about not having whatever it is you want, pizza, pasta, ice cream, something with a carb, then you've got food on the brain all day. And that puts the focus on the wrong thing, which is what you're eating, instead of why. So ultimately, diets fail because they only deal with food. They do not address the underlying reasons that make you turn to food in the first place. And that may be comfort, distraction, to numb yourself, could be many, many, many reasons why it's happening. And, you know, dieting really keeps you in a perpetual battle with yourself. And that's no good, because it's no way to go through your life, is to be in conflict with yourself and battling yourself, at war with yourself. So the key to change is to stop dieting and start tuning into what's eating at you. And when you deal with the true problem, you don't use food to cope. So I'm going to give you some of those strategies. So the first thing to do is you got to crack the code of emotional eating. Because again, emotional eating is never about food. It's not what you're eating. It's about understanding what's eating at you. And so I want to talk about my food mood formula. Again, some of you have heard it before, but it does not hurt to get a reminder. And for those of you who are new to hearing this, I think it'll help you a lot. And if you have any questions, again, please feel free to call me, 818-602-4929. So the food mood formula, and I developed it because lots of people tell me, like, okay, I know it just seems to be about the food. I go right to the food, so I don't even know what's bothering me. And what do you do if you're not talking directly to me to help you figure out, okay, why did you go and eat those cookies? Or why did you eat that pizza? Why did you eat that pasta? It just seems to you about, well, I was craving it or something was going on. It's really about the food because it feels like it's about the food. So this formula is going to help you figure out what's going on inside. So when people think about food, types of food, they tend to think in terms of like sweet or savory, something like that. But I think texture is the key to connecting food and mood. And there are three basic categories. Smooth, creamy. Wow, I just made up a new word. Fumi. Smooth, creamy foods like ice cream or pudding. Second category is filling foods like bread, pasta, pizza, cake, muffins. And the third category is crunchy foods like chips or crackers. So take a moment to think about your last craving. Was it for something smooth? Like, did you reach for ice cream? Was it filling? Maybe it was all about pizza or cake or muffins or bread. Or maybe it was crunchy and you grabbed a bag of chips. Okay, so what does it all mean? Well, in working with thousands of people to help them make peace with food, both in my private practice and in my programs, I have found that if it's sweet and smooth and creamy, it means you need nurturing and soothing. So ice cream is about a need for comfort. The filling foods, the second category, those are about loneliness. Since they are like kind of filling, bulky foods, and they fill an inner void. So if that's your go-to, you want to look at what are the empty places in your life and think about what you might be using food to fill. Maybe you need more people in your life. Maybe you need more money in your life. Maybe you need more satisfying work, something. What is the emptiness in your life? And the last category, crunchy, that's associated with anger. So chips, pretzels, everything that makes you bite down hard, anything with teeth, it's a sign that you may be angry, frustrated, or annoyed. Also, if you get angry about being fat, quote unquote fat, then maybe you're turning anger about other people or situations onto yourself. Maybe you think your emotions or needs or wants are too big, too much, and then you feel like you're too much, too big. You may have guilt over taking up space in the world or having, you know, appropriate needs or demands. So, for example, if you are lonely and you use food to fill an inner void, you may also eat until it hurts, in which case you are turning the ache of loneliness into actual physical pain. Because physical pain is actually easier to manage and get rid of than emotional pain. So the next time you say, oh, I ate so much my stomach hurts, think about what that may be code for, which could be, you know what, I'm hurting. I'm in a lot of emotional pain. So I kind of digressed a little bit from my food and mood formula, but basically it's the three categories. If you turn to smooth and creamy ice cream, you need comfort. If it's filling foods, you are filling some kind of hole in your life, hole in your soul. And if you turn to crunchy foods, something in your world is making you angry. And when you address those underlying key conflicts and needs, you're not going to use food to do so. Okay, so once you do that, now the next step is tracking the triggers. And a lot of people tell me like that they are really good, quote unquote good, all day, and then they get home and at night they start snacking or eating, and everything goes downhill. So what I have people do, and what I'm going to tell you to do, is track those triggers. So food distracts you from uncomfortable thoughts and emotions, but it doesn't resolve them. And when you clearly identify what's going on inside, you can find ways to respond other than with food. So I encourage you to track your triggers for a minimum of 24 hours, but better yet, 4 days, better yet, a week. And you're going to look at four specific things. It's not about tracking food. It's actually about tracking emotional triggers. And so what you're going to do is you're going to do what I'm about to tell you, and it's going to really help you find patterns. And those patterns will help you understand better what's going on inside so that you can deal with it directly. And it's important to do this with an attitude of curiosity and not judgment. So first, you're going to write down the situation. What happened? What's going on? Like, oh, I was bored at work, or oh, I had a fight with my husband, or oh, I, whatever. You get the idea. What's the situation? I got yelled at by my spouse. I got mad at my children. Whatever it is, I got a bad grade at school. What's the situation? The second part is the emotions, and that is just what you were feeling. And that's some version of mad, sad, happy, or afraid. And then you're going to rate the intensity of those emotions on a scale of 1 to 10. So 10 is the most intense. So 10 for anger would be rage, and 1 would be maybe frustration. The next step is you're going to write the thoughts. What are your thoughts about what the situation means? Like, my husband yelled at me, and I felt sad and mad because it meant that he was not listening to me. My time is not important to my family. My needs don't matter. You know, you're going to translate what is the meaning of the situation, and then you're going to write down what food you ate. So the situation, what happened, the emotion, what were you feeling, the thoughts. What does it mean? Whatever was going on, it had some meaning to you about you or about your situation. And then last, the foods. A lot of times when people keep track of their foods, they're only keeping track of their foods and their hunger. But which doesn't help, because that's just food. Food is a solution to the problem. And this is going to really help you get to what is the real problem? What is eating at you? So if you have any questions about what I've talked about so far, or if there's anything else on your mind that you'd like to discuss with me, please feel free to call me, 818-602-4929. 818-602-4929. I would love to hear from you. Okay, so next, we're going to talk about relationships, starting with your relationship to yourself. Because when you create a happy, healthy relationship to yourself, your relationship to food will radically change. And keep in mind, when it comes to your relationship to yourself, your body is not your only self. You've got to keep in mind the whole you. You are more than just the person that you see in the mirror. But when it comes to your body, think about this great quote. I love it. Marcia Richardson from England, she came up with this, and it's just so perfect. She says, if you spoke to your friends the way you speak to your body, you'd have no friends left. So true. So true. Your relationship to yourself is vital. And that's why you've got to learn to be a friend to yourself. And if you're already nice to yourself, hey, it's possible to even be nicer. So it's going to be the start of a beautiful lifelong friendship, right? So that includes encouraging and inspiring yourself and getting in touch with all aspects of you, your intellectual, relational, creative, spiritual, whatever parts of you that make up you that have nothing to do with the person in the mirror or the number on the scale. Now, how do you get in touch with wanting a kind relationship to yourself when you are just sort of not in love with yourself? When you kind of, maybe you hear me saying what I'm saying, you're like, yeah, right. Easier said than done. That's why I'm going to give you an exercise to do. When you stop listening to the show, I want you to go and get a baby picture of yourself. Because a great way, I'm going to hold that thought and answer this call. Hi, caller, you're on with Dr. Nina.
Hey, Nina, this is Anne from New York City. How are you?
Hi, Anne from New York City. I know you called a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And
so I wanted to, one, let you know how great your advice was, and then, two, maybe pick your brain on something else. Is that okay?
Absolutely. What of my advice was helpful to you?
So I loved what you said about speaking to myself only in I form, not in you form. And the second you said that, I started realizing just how much I spoke to myself in you. It was all the time, constant, for good or bad. If I did well on a test, I'm going to score right now, it was, wow, you did so well, you're so smart. And if I did something dumb, it was, wow, I can't believe you did that. But it was always this disconnect from, like, my mind to who I really was. And then...
And it creates distance. It creates distance. So with distance, you can be meaner.
Yeah.
You can either be meaner to yourself, or even if you're nice to yourself. And I just want to say to the caller who's calling in right now, I can only take one call at a time, so please call me back. I really want to talk to you. Please call me back after my call with Anne. And if you're being nice to yourself, and when you talk to yourself in distancing language, that also is... It's not as close as it could be as if you honored yourself with an I. So either way, it
mm-hmm.
keeps you at a distance with yourself.
Yeah. And I realized, so I journal quite a bit. And I realized even as I journal, like, I'll talk to myself in you form, like, okay, this is what you should do, or, like, this is what happened, like, this is what you did wrong, or this is what, you know, but it was always like, you. And so I've been extending it and only writing in my journal in I form. And it's just been super enlightening about, I guess, how much disconnect there is in my relationship, like, with myself. Kind of like what you were just talking about, which is why I decided to call in.
I'm so glad that you were able to catch yourself, because once you realize what you're doing and you start catching it and you realize how much you're doing it, it's very enlightening. And then when you catch yourself doing it, you can change, and it gives you an actionable thing to do.
Yeah, and what you said a few weeks ago is so true about not being able to say as many mean things when you're speaking in I form. I was like, oh, I can't tell myself I'm the worst because I'm not the worst. Or, like, I can't tell myself I'm fat. I'm not fat, you know, or whatever it was. And so forcing myself to put it in I form really helped me just say, okay, what am I actually trying to communicate with myself? Is it that I'm sad? Is it that I'm frustrated? Is it that I wish I had handled the situation better? Whatever it is. And then I can say, all right, I wish I would have handled that situation better. And that feels a lot more honest and a lot kinder than, all right, you're the worst.
you know what? I think, and this deserves a little applause. Yeah! I love my sound effects. Thank you for giving me a reason to use it. So, yay!
That's amazing. So, okay, well, as I did this, I've been trying harder to develop a better relationship with myself, which is, I think, where the core of my problem, or the question that I have for you this week is, I've realized I have such strong ideals as to what a woman should look like or what a person should look like. And I know intellectually that no one really looks like that, or that, you know, no one has the perfect body or no one has the perfect life, or that it doesn't really exist, and that I can't expect that from myself. And that my value and worth comes from other things. I know all of that intellectually, but I have a really hard time putting that into practice when I'm in front of the mirror, or I'm about to go on a date, or here's the biggest crux of my issue is I have a really hard time feeling like I'm worthy of love, like romantic love, unless I look perfect, unless I have that perfect body. And having a hard time believing that anyone would take interest in me unless I looked like that. And again, intellectually, I'm like, that's not true. But then when it comes down to it, and I'm really honest with myself, I know that that's something that I really struggle with and stops me from just being happy or having meaningful relationships. I wanted to see if you had any advice on that.
Well, you bring up something that people commonly feel, which is they have two separate experiences of the same thing. So intellectually, you know what you know, but mm-hmm. feeling what emotionally or another part of you knows something else, and you can't force the intellectual rational part into changing the way the other part of you feels. So let me ask you something. Do you only go out with perfect looking guys?
No.
So you must not have any interest in any of them.
Well, that's not true.
Okay, so again, this is me talking to your intellectual side, right? Because why is it that you have to be perfect to be deserving of love, but you can love or potentially love someone who is not perfect because, you know, nobody is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that brings us to the question of lovability. And where in your life, even though you're talking about romantic love, is there some sense in you, not your intellectual rational side, I'm sure you know that you're lovable, and maybe that you're loved, hopefully that you're loved, but that doesn't mean you feel it, right? So is there some part of you that does not feel lovable? And I'm not talking about guys or anything, just within you.
Yeah, I think I don't know if I have exactly the words for what that part would be, but I definitely think separate from boys, I do have a hard time loving myself completely. And it's not that I don't feel loved. I feel a lot of love from a lot of family and a lot of really close friends and even people I barely know. But within myself, within the relationship that I have with myself, there's something missing. There's a hole there. And I think that probably manifests itself most clearly in the fact that, if I don't love myself totally, if there's something that I can't love, then obviously there's something someone else wouldn't be able to love either.
Yeah. And I know it's hard to reflect and think about this. Having a perfect body is a great solution, right? Oh, if I can change this, then I'll be lovable. But of course, then you make a change and then you find something else. You know, I've had people who, one woman lost, I don't know, it was like 150 pounds and her insecurity went from, oh, people don't like me because of my weight to, oh, people don't like me because of, you know, something else, like something to do with her hair. So, you know, I see this a lot of times, or a guy who's he wasn't dating because of his weight, and then he lost weight, and then it was, oh no, I can't go out with girls because they're going to discover that I'm not as smart as I seem to be. So it's always, mm-hmm. it's a moving target. So I want to suggest something, which is that it is impossible to love yourself completely. And that is why I suggest self-acceptance is a much better goal than self-love. Because self-acceptance encompasses the things that you like and love about yourself and the things you don't, that maybe you can work on some of them, but maybe not. you know, other things. I happen to be absolute moron level when it comes to math. I'm not working on it. It's I accept it. I have like no left brain whatsoever. That's a silly example, but when you accept yourself and your whole self, it's a lot easier to imagine that other people will accept you too. Because if you think, well, I got to be perfect to be loved and lovable, that's a setup. We have to come to mm-hmm. terms with the parts of ourselves that are not so perfect. And that doesn't, the imperfections do not make us unlovable. So shoot for self-acceptance rather than total self-love, which is a part of this whole that you're talking about.
So do you think the whole then that I feel it isn't based off of one specific thing that I'm missing, but rather just this idea of acceptance in general?
I mean, I don't know. I haven't talked to you enough to make that kind of determination. It's usually not just one thing, and it's usually not that someone's missing something. It has to do with maybe what's missing is an internal self-supporter that says, hey, you know what? I am perfectly imperfect, and that's okay. I am still lovable. I don't love my friends because they're perfect. I wouldn't love them more if they lost weight. And have you ever gone out with a really, really hot guy, but he's just like boring or just a dick? You know, it's not like he's so good looking that you're like, yeah. Oh God, forget it. You're so good looking. I don't care what your personality is. Well, you know, you've overprivileged and overvalued appearance as a way to kind of get to the finish line of perfection. But it's a moving finish line. It's a moving target, and you know, figuring out where this missing, the idea of the missing piece, actually the idea of it, comes from is pretty vital.
Okay, so then what I should be working on right now is focusing on self-acceptance, supporting myself, speaking more kindly, and realizing that the need to have a perfect body, especially in lovability, even if I did attain that, it could easily shift to something else. And so the most important thing is to accept myself and realize that that goes two ways, and the people we love us, and we love other people, and we just all put up with each other's quirks in the meantime.
Yes, quirks is a gentler term than something missing. Right, exactly. And as always, you're so insightful and receptive, and you get what I'm talking about. It's great. So please call back and let me know, let us know how you're doing.
I will. Thank you so much, Nina.
Thank you, Anne. Bye-bye.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Bye. Aw. Oh, this darn perfection thing in our society. It just causes so much angst and self-abuse and pain. If the caller who was trying to get through earlier wants to call back, I have a quirky thing in my setup here at the radio station, which is I can only take one call at a time. So if you want to call in, just call in after I'm off with the caller that I'm on. Or call, like right now, I'm not on with a caller. So please call back, caller who was trying earlier, and there you are. Hi, caller.
Hello?
Hi, this is Dr. Nina.
I'm Prashant Shah. I'm going to link in.
Pardon?
Hi, I'm calling in for the Dr. Nina show.
That's me. You're talking to Dr. Nina. Hello?
Driver. Hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you. This is
I'm going to link. Hi, Dr. Nina. I'm going to link in Prashant Shah, two-time breast cancer survivor, who overcame with diet and health and wellness. I spoke to Melinda about her and told her we would be calling in today.
Okay. Wonderful.
I'm going to go Prashant now.
Okay. All right, you guys, we're having
Hi.
A call. Hello? Hello, Brashan?
Hello, hi.
Hi, Brashan. This is Dr. Nina. Welcome to
How
the
are
show.
You?
I'm well, thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Well, as everyone knows, this is October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and I know you have quite a story to tell, maybe, and you have your own story as far as reclaiming your sense of body image, body positivity. You have a lot to say. I'm going to let you introduce yourself. Tell us about you, Brashan.
I love it. So my name is Brashan Shaw. I'm an international motivational speaker, author, business and relationship career coach, and a two-time stage 4 breast cancer survivor.
Wow. Wow for all of it.
Yes.
I'm glad you're here.
Thank you. Yes, yes, yes.
So
Hello?
Can you Yeah, I'm hearing you. So in thinking about how going through breast cancer, stage 4 breast cancer twice, and how did that impact the way you thought about your body and your appearance?
Well, interesting enough, I mean, you know, when you go through something horrific as breast cancer in stage 4, it really makes you wake up, right? You know, you start understanding that, okay, now God is giving you a chance. So you have to really get into your health, right? When I first got diagnosed, you know, I was thinking, okay, I'm going to beat this, don't worry. I was eating and doing the same thing. But the second time, I started to wake up. And I said, I need to make better choices in my life. This is a wake-up call. I got a second chance. So I needed to change the things that I ate, the way I thought, my mindset, what I was doing on a day-to-day basis. I wanted to change it for the better.
And in terms of the mindset, because, you know, as a psychoanalyst, I'm all about the mind and how our minds, we have a mind-body connection. And when our minds are supportive of ourselves, we feel better, not just emotionally, but I guess, you know, it impacts your physicality, too. So tell us about what you realized in terms of the way that you were thinking and the kinds of shifts you made in your mindset.
Well, yeah, see, I think mindset is everything. I think mindset is how you beat your disease or how you don't. Because you know what? We think we live in fear and we get afraid and we're scared. But, you know, I took control of my health, right? So doctor gave me 3 months to live, and here I am 10 years cancer-free, no evidence of disease. Because mindset and God, I told myself I'm going to live. So since I'm going to live, I'm going to do everything that I need to do. So with my mindset, every day I would say something positive. Every day I would say an affirmation. Every day I would listen to someone inspirational. Because you read these stories about all the great ones, and what is it? They just thought that they can do it. They just took action. We're all the same. It's just who takes action and who does it. Who's living in fear and who's not? So, you know, I love the good cheeseburger and french fries, and I love the good steak, but that wasn't going to be the best healthy choice for me. So I had to change my mindset and change what I was eating. I wound up stopped eating meat. So I took away beef. I took away chicken. I took away pork. And I said, I'm going to make better choices. So with your mindset, I started thinking positive every day. I don't care what a doctor gave me. My motto was, cancer was my diagnosis, not my prognosis. Not how I'm going to live the rest of my life. I'm not going to be a walking cancer.
Yeah, that's
I'm
so
going
powerful.
To change it up, and I'm going to start living.
And so, how did you think about yourself before the diagnosis? I mean, what I talk to a lot of women who, like Anne, the caller before you called in, just kind of looks in the mirror and finds fault and finds imperfection and really focuses. A lot of women focus on what's wrong, what's imperfect, that somehow they're going to be more lovable when they have a different body, and of course that just leads to feeling terrible all the time. What did you specifically notice about the way you related to yourself pre-diagnosis and after? Not just your health, but the way that you thought about yourself.
Oh, right. that's a good question, because, you know, before you nitpick on everything, oh, I got a pouchy stomach, you know, my thighs have a little bit of cellulite, I don't like my shoulders or my arms, they're not as toned. So we beat ourselves up so much. And it's always, you know, all women are on a diet. We're on a diet like 24/7 for the rest of our lives. But then when you get diagnosed, you realize that those things are just so small and minuscule. Like, you know, wanting to be an hourglass. Those are just fictitious things in our mind that we think we should be. When you get diagnosed with cancer, it's bigger than, oh, I have a small tummy, or, I mean, I'm sorry, an overweight tummy, or my thighs are huge. You're worrying about your health. You're worrying about living. You want to live. Do you know what I mean? So those things start, sort of go to the wayside, and you start worrying about the things that matter, like your overall health, your mind, your body, your soul, everything. Not just, okay, I want a flat tummy, I want my arms tight, I want muscle. So it becomes bigger than the little small, petty, small things that we see on Facebook and Instagram. Oh, okay, to get this body. It just really woke me up. I always say cancer was my gift.
You know, it's interesting. Last week I had a documentary filmmaker, Jeff Weitzman, who did a Cancer Can Be Killed, and he talked to a lot of people who recovered from cancer by taking non-traditional methods, and they all said the same thing, that cancer was a gift. And I actually shared my own cancer experience. It does give you a different perspective. It does wake you up. But, you know, you can, I guess what you're saying and what I want people to know out there is you can wake up without having to have this diagnosis. You know, when you get a cancer diagnosis, you're just glad to have a body. What it weighs, yeah, becomes much less significant. And I guess I'd like, and with your help, to wake up people out there to say, you know what, appreciate who you are, appreciate the life you have, and don't live life for the future.
Well, you know what? So that is my motto. So I always say, what's the cancer that's holding you back from greatness? And not the disease, but it's the cancer of being stuck in life, of not making a move, of not going after that job, of not moving to that city, of not buying that new house. You know, we stay stuck, or of not, you know, keep on beating yourself up over your body, over your looks. You know what? We have a divine calling to be great. We are beautiful within ourselves. So wake up and understand that you are here, and get busy living and not dying and beating yourself up and criticizing yourself and judging yourself. You know what? The time is now. There is no chance that tomorrow may come. Tomorrow may not come for you. So you better start living today. So all of those other small things that we worry about don't really matter.
And so as far as from a practical standpoint, what are some of the things that you do to just incorporate health both in food and in mindset on a daily basis? You mentioned mantras, you mentioned positive thinking. What else can you recommend?
So, you know, every morning I recommend just doing something. Take 5 minutes out of your day every morning, doing something positive, whether it's reading a Bible, reading something inspirational, listening to something inspirational, or just doing a mantra. Do that every morning. I have green tea with lemon every single morning, or lemon and water. Just put it in your diet, because it helps flush the toxins out. It helps with your body. Every morning, green tea with lemon, or lemon with water. And then I do a green juice, a powdered green juice or fresh juice. You know, and people are like, oh, I don't have the time. But when you get sick, you realize that, oh, you'll make time, because it's all you have. Your health is all you have. If you don't have your health, you don't have anything. So those are my three things that you really should start off with. And then exercise. I'm telling you, people want to not exercise or throw that to the side. Exercise is huge. I don't care if you need to walk around the neighborhood, walk up to the floor of your office building, walk up your stairs, but do some exercise. We get so lazy in our minds and just don't want to do anything. So if I had to say four things, it would be something positive in the morning. Take 5 minutes by yourself, whether it's meditation, breathing. Then the second thing is doing affirmation, something positive. You know, I always say I'm a magnet to divine prosperity. Everything I touch is success. I say that every day. I've been saying that every day for about 7 years. I'm a magnet to divine prosperity. Everything I touch is success. And then I do a lemon and water or green tea and lemon. I do a green juice and I exercise. That is like a daily. That's every day. I put that in my routine. And I think if people just stopped and made a routine out of healthy choices, it would change their life.
Absolutely, because the way that we think affects the way that we feel. When you're telling yourself you're not good enough, you're going to feel lousy. And when you feel lousy, you're going to maybe turn to food for comfort. And you're certainly not going to be motivated to exercise and have a sense of well-being. But when you encourage yourself instead of discourage yourself, when you encourage yourself, like you're saying, you feel better. And when you feel better, when you feel good, because you're encouraging yourself, you're not going to use food for distraction, because you don't need to distract from a sense of well-being. So it all is interconnected.
Exactly. It's all connected, because when you feel good, you look good, and you want to go to the gym, and you want to make choices, healthier choices, right? When you feel bad, you just want, give me a pizza and some cheese fries and a burger, right? Because you don't care, because you're giving up. But when you're in a space of positivity and feeling great, you want to put nothing but greatness in your body and be around greatness.
And your mind. Yeah.
And your mind. Let me tell you, your mind is everything. I'm a coach, and I coach women all around the world. Mindset is the biggest thing. It was what stops you from greatness, or it was what pushes you towards greatness, your mindset. People think, I don't want to worry about that. I have my mind. No, you don't. Because let me tell you, when you dig deep with someone and you get to the foundation and the root of their issues, it's always because they're afraid. They're living in fear. They don't think they're good enough. They don't think they'll make it. So mindset is huge.
Well, yeah, you are preaching to the converted. As a psychoanalyst, I am all about the mindset. And I have seen remarkable things happen when people change the way they think about themselves and the world. Their whole experience of the world and of themselves changes. So, you know, you are...
Yeah.
So having survived breast cancer twice and become a motivational speaker, and I know that Oprah is a fan of yours.
Yes.
You've been...
We love Oprah. Yes, we love Oprah.
Oprah loves you. Right? You've been on Oprah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and you're really out there trying to, especially, you know, this month, telling your story, encouraging people to get screened. I will tell you, when I was going in for treatment, what really broke my heart was, and it got caught super early. I was very, very lucky. But when I was going for treatment, the nurse at my surgeon's office told me that they saw a lot of people who had found lumps and were so scared to go in that they ignored them. And by the time they went in, it was either too late or they had to go through some horrible, horrible, you know, treatment. So I just mm-hmm. want to urge women out there, if you feel a lump, it's treatable. You can treat it. It is not a death sentence. Just go to the doctor and get some help of some kind, or, you know, watch Cancer Can Be Killed, from the documentary from last week. But cancer is not a death sentence. It is a disease, and it doesn't have to take your life. Don't be scared. Take action. And Brashan is living proof
of
that.
You are so right. Mm-hmm. You are so right. And I know some people here on the East Coast that felt the lump, and I pushed them. You better go into the doctor, because people are scared. They don't want the diagnosis. They don't want to hear it. So they just want to keep on going. But let me tell you, the longer you wait, the more the cancer spreads. You can cure it, and you can get it out of your system and out of your body. If you check early, early detection works. It really does.
Yeah, I'm living proof of that. So,
And me too, because I checked it twice early, and that's how, even when it went to stage four, I caught it early.
Right, yes. And I want to encourage everyone out there, to all the women out there, and by the way, men can get breast cancer too. I actually had a friend who found a lump, and he had to go and get what he called a mammogram, and it ended up being breast cancer. And he had a lumpectomy and radiation. So, guys, you know, if you feel something, get it checked out too. But most of all, you know, you don't have to get a scary diagnosis like cancer to live your life. I want to encourage everyone mm-hmm. that living your life instead of existing it is looking on the scale every day and having it define you and feeling bad about yourself and looking in the mirror and picking all the things you don't like. You can find a different way to be in the world and have a richer and more enjoyable life, because we're supposed to enjoy our lives, not pick on ourselves.
Yeah.
Do
it's
good
so
and
true.
Feel good.
It's so true. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, I totally agree with you that men get breast cancer and men need to check up, and you need to understand your family history. You need to know what you have been through, your family, and everyone should go get checked out. Cancer is running rampant. It's like 1 in 8 women are getting it, and we're too afraid. But I say, if you have the tools and the knowledge and the information, you can beat this thing. It is so important. Do not wait.
Right. Do not wait. So, Prashant, you're so inspirational that you not only faced stage 4 breast cancer once, but twice and beat it, and you're now cancer free, and thank God for that. What is like a golden nugget of words of wisdom? I'm putting you on the spot a little bit. What words of wisdom do you have for our audience that they can take with them today? You know, what is something they can do today besides the 4 things that you said, you know, the green tea and lemon and positivity and all of that? Just something else that you would recommend people think about.
You know, this is a good one. Take control of your health, because I'm really tired of everyone expecting like a magic pill to do everything. A magic pill for diabetes, a magic pill for obesity, a magic pill for cancer. Like, really, take control of your health. Eat better, think better, make healthier choices. You know, we know what to do. We know how to get rid of these things. We know how to lose weight. We just don't do it. We know not to eat the sugar and the white pasta and things like that. We just don't do it. We know the things that there's so much information about breast cancer, how to avoid it. It's exercising and being healthy and eating healthier, but we just don't do it. You know what I mean? And so I just want people to start taking control of their health. Stop. It's not, yes, doctors are great and we love doctors. You need them, but it's about us too. You know, I coach in taking action with your life. You have to want it. You have to take action. Don't depend on anyone but yourself. You have to take control of your health.
And that goes for breast cancer, for any kind of unhealthy, unhappy relationship with food, eating disorders, anything. Finding it within you to be a person who can take care of you rather than put your head in the sand or beat yourself up is really, really important. Well, Prashant, I'm so glad that you called in today, and it's so wonderful to talk to you, and you're so inspirational. Where can people find out more about you?
Oh, I love it. So they can go to my website, BERSHAN.com, Prashant.com. And actually, right now, I'm doing an Unstoppable Warrior Woman book tour nationwide. So people who have their warrior stories, because, you know, my brand is being, I'm a warrior coach. So if anyone has a story that they battle any kind of, it doesn't have to be disease, financial, bankruptcy, whatever, health issues, self-images, you email book, B-O-O-K, at the letter U, the letter R, the letter A, warrior, WARRIOR.com, BOOK at URA, warrior, WARRIOR.com, and Prashant.com, BERSHAN.com is my website. And please follow me on social media. Everything is Prashant Shaw, SHAW. So follow me on Prashant Shaw everywhere. I would love to hear from you.
Oh, Prashant, thank you so much for being on the show today, and you are indeed a warrior and an inspiration, and I'm so glad that you're healthy and out there helping other women to, you know, live their best lives. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
Bye. And that is pretty much our show for today. I am going to come back next week with Fran Drescher, and that's going to be a really interesting conversation. For those of you who remember The Nanny, I'm going to pick up where I left off with these tips with the baby picture. I hate to leave you, you know, hanging, but tune in 2 weeks to hear me talk more about the baby picture and what to do and how to use a baby picture to reconnect with yourself. Thank you so much for joining me today. I am here every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific here on LA Talk Radio to give you the skinny on weight loss without dieting. You can visit me at winthedietwar.com and get all kinds of free downloads and get on my subscriber list so that you get regular updates. And if you have any questions, feel free to message me with questions or call me on the show. See you next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.